fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. The word of the Lord.
So good to be with you all again this morning. As I said, I'm usually with the kids outside with our intern, Mara, and it is wonderful to be at church with you again. Pray with me. God, our Creator, thank you for life and our world. Christ, our Redeemer, thank you for abiding with us in body and speaking your word to us. Holy Spirit, our Advocate, fill my words and fill each body and mind here with your good news. Amen. As I have assured my mother-in-law several times, I love being both a part-time pastor and a part-time general repair handyman. I love it because sometimes doing home repairs and remodeling gives me really ripe sermon illustrations. And alternatively, I get to apply a pastoral perspective to my handyman side hustle. So lately I've been remodeling a bathroom for a client, and it's got this 50s charm, and she wanted to save the tub, the original tile floor in the bathroom, but everything else would be new. It's not a large bathroom, but it had this goofy setup with a soaking tub and then a separate stand-up stall shower. And at some point, the previous owner had the shower walls and floor covered with this fiberglass overlay. And this was a cheap alternative to add new life to the shower. So during the demolition phase, with the shower walls and floor removed, I could see that the floorboards underneath the tile floor I was standing on had pretty much turned to ash because the shower drain had been leaking for decades. When they put up the fiberglass walls and floor a decade or so ago, the installers must have used two tubes of caulk just around the drain. It looked good from the outside, but it was leaking where no one could see. And I've seen this a lot. Water, even a little bit of water, finds the path of least resistance, and it slowly erodes the things you can't see underneath. So a quick construction aside, at the time that this house was built, bathroom floors like this were made by pouring 2 inches of concrete over wooden floorboards, and then you put the tile on top of the concrete. So with some of the floorboards deteriorated from moisture, parts of this concrete slab floor were sitting an inch above anything that could support them, meaning that eventually this tile floor would irreparably crack with the pressure from above. So in order to save the tile on the outside, I had the honor of squeezing through the floor joists, gleefully contorting my 6'7" body inside the 2-foot-tall dirt crawl space underneath. I had the joy of removing rotten floorboards directly above my face until finally I could add new lumber and supports. And as I told the owner, I did not enjoy this, but the alternative was worse. Ignoring it would be far worse, and I don't just mean a cracked floor. I mean the attack on my conscience if I had not done that uncomfortable repair work from below. I assure you, many a remodel crew would have just ignored the floorboards because the tile looked good from above, and I confess, part of me wanted to do that. Part of me wanted to just avoid the discomfort and the time suck of repairing unseen structural issues. But this is the occupational hazard of being a pastor and a handyman. I can't ignore the underlying issues because I found what's true of a home is true of humans. The unseen internal issues require the most attention and the most discomfort to correct. And this analogy merely echoes the point Jesus wants to impart to us today in Mark's gospel. It's from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. The exterior may distract us, but the deeper problem is on the inside. Thanks be to God, Jesus is not a slapdash carpenter. He will not abide quickly slapping a shiny floor over a creaky subfloor. He will not countenance excessive amounts of caulk around a fundamentally leaky drain. All our exterior finishes, and those of the Pharisees in his day do not impress him. As long as the inside, the root of the problem, the unseen crawl spaces of our lives remain uninvestigated. The unseen internal issues require the most attention and the most discomfort to correct. They get a bad rap, but in their day, the Pharisees, they had good intentions. They wanted people to be holy and pure and pleasing to God. And to do this, they applied God's expectations of priests to themselves and to all people. What the priest was expected to do at the temple, all people should do in their homes. The logic followed, if more people practiced these external acts, the nation of Israel would be more distinct from other nations, therefore more holy, therefore more pleasing to God. So when the pious Pharisees asked Jesus why his disciples aren't ritually washing their hands before they eat, insert COVID-19 joke here, they are essentially calling out Jesus and his disciples for being less than holy and displeasing to God. In response, Jesus gives a scathing rebuke. He prophetically calls out their hypocrisy and superficiality, and then he addresses the whole crowd. He kind of talks past the Pharisees, about the Pharisees, to the crowd, and he says, there is nothing outside a person that going in can defile. It is what comes out of a person that defiles. The external finishes will eventually crack if the internal issues are not addressed. And I admit, I spend a lot of my time as a handyman repairing the short-sighted mistakes of others. I will often curse their names with my own prophetic judgments. Because it's easy to levy judgment on the actions or shortcomings of others, especially when you are forced to deal with the damage of their mistakes. But the uncomfortable truth is that Jesus applies this to his disciples and all humanity. I am not exempt from this rebuke. I have issues. I have brokenness, sometimes evil within me. And I don't believe I'm the only one here who's had to face up to the damage their internal shortcomings have caused. I don't believe I'm the only one here who has expediently put a glossy exterior up from time to time. I confess, though I may repair internal issues on homes, I confess I have less energy to investigate my own internal world. As a result, and you can ask my closest friends, I continue to cause pain because of my pride and defensiveness. Thankfully, by God's grace, because of these same friendships, I can more easily spot my internal shortcomings when they appear. That's the real gift, and that's what I want to recommend to you this morning. It's what I like to call a healthy suspicion of self. So, for example, in the early 20th century, years not unlike ours, years fraught with war and disease and anxiety, a newspaper solicited essays from writers addressing the question, what is the problem with the world? And in response, the prolific writer G.K. Chesterton wrote and sent his contribution. It read, "Dear sirs, comma, I am yours, G.K. Chesterton." And perhaps this story was in the back of my mind towards the end of my seminary education when I was asked by two of my professors in my exit interview, "What do you fear most about ministry?" And I replied, "Myself." They smiled, and I elaborated because in my time there, going through the crucible of study and self-reflection, Thanks in no small part to the prophetic voice of my female colleagues and professors. Thanks to reading theologies from the margin. Thanks to hearing just a fraction of the wounds inflicted by ministers who bore the same skin tone and the same gender as me. I had grown quite suspicious of myself. I feared that once ministerial power was given to me, I too would become another immature perpetrator. I feared the external damage I might cause due to unseen internal and systemic brokenness. And yes, I'll use the same word as Jesus, internal and systemic evil. And if you can stomach some examples of unchecked male immaturity, pride, deceit, folly, and systemic evil, I'd recommend the podcast, The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. It tells the story of celebrity pastor Mark Driscoll and those around him. It bears out time and time again the truth Jesus spoke centuries ago and the truth he speaks today. Evil intentions and their damaging effects come from the unseen, internal, uninvestigated, untransformed core of who we are as humans. I do not wish to be another cautionary tale to pastors, and so I try to maintain a healthy suspicion of myself. And I want to be clear. Despite what some systems of theology would have you believe, I do not believe we as humans are totally depraved. I'm sure some here still bear the wounds of self-loathing taught to you by the church. That's not what I'm suggesting, and that's not what Jesus taught. Jesus does not call humans evil outright. Remember, he himself took on all it means to be human. Don't forget God made humanity and called us good. Don't forget, God has not stopped working for our redemption and our good. The good news, then, is that while living with us and as one of us, Jesus was honest with us. There are issues under the surface that need to be addressed. These issues are far more pressing than any external performance or facade. These issues may have been inflicted by others or self-inflicted, but they cannot be ignored. Otherwise, the eventual cracks will cause more damage to us and to those around us. The good news is that in Christ as prophetic moral teacher and Christ as the cosmic remodel of humanity, in Christ that internal problem is addressed. In Christ, that is, among honest peers and counselors and fellow disciples, transformation is possible. Transformation happens. We have seen it. The root causes of hurt in our lives can get addressed and repaired. And in order to do that, I think we need to maintain a healthy dose of self-suspicion. That's what always seems to be lacking in the weekly celebrity pastor dumpster fire. These men are so sure of themselves, so unsuspecting of their intentions that they bring about their own downfall, and they create waves of pain for others. They seem so unsuspecting of themselves that the massive churches they have built seem to crack along the same fractures within them. Yes, the failures of celebrity pastors cause me despair, but I refuse to believe that I'm the only one here who has experienced and witnessed real internal transformation. Thanks to honest friends and true disciples of Christ, thanks to hard conversations and to discomfort, thanks to the way of Christ, we can more readily be aware of the evil within. We can lovingly address it so that we and our neighbors can flourish. And that, my friends, is true holiness. Not purity over and against our neighbors, like the Pharisees, but profound internal wholeness and goodness and love for the sake of our neighbors. Thanks be to God. Amen.